Great. Welcome. How many were here last week? Okay. I started a series on evangelism. And I promised you that this week was going to be special. And he's shaking his head. Yeah. So, it's going to be.
Shaking?
This is
nodding.
Nodding. Falling asleep. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so I want to review a couple of things. And then we're going to have some fun with this. So, the first thing, this is Ross's personal guarantee. Now, did I live up to this?
Yes.
I said, by the end of this class, you will know everything you need to know to effectively share your faith, and you will be able to do it. Wow. That's right. Put my money where my mouth is. All right, so I'm going to go to one of the slides further on. There's two verses I'm kind of hanging this on. I said that the reason we evangelize is because it is a form of love. And love is the greatest thing that we can do for another person. It's reflected in the Trinity. The Trinity itself has been in a loving relationship with each other since before we existed. When he created us in his image, part of that was that we are to love each other. We generally do a really lousy job of it. I generally do a lousy job of it. You're still nodding your head. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. And I made the claim that as we study the Bible, all the theology and all the doctrine and all the cool things, the facts we learn about what the Bible says are never meant to stand alone. They are meant to be in service to love. Love is the great goal, the umbrella under which everything we do has to exist. So evangelism, and that's what we're supposed to be doing here in an apologetics class, is a learning about factual reasons why God exists and who he is so that we can share the faith, not so we can let them stick in our head and not go anywhere with them. So our life as believers is to be lived with an outward focus on God first and then on others necessarily. We cannot exist as Christians only focused on our relationship with God. God says we can't love him if we don't love other people. So this idea of holing up somewhere and just putting the world out, focusing on prayer and going to church and reading the Bible, it's good for a season if that's what you need to do. But the Bible's very clear that our life with God, our life with Christ is bigger than that. And we cannot fully experience the Lord if we're not out there in the world loving other people. That's what I learned the hard way. I tried that. I'm just going to focus on the Lord. And I found I was feeling pretty empty. I realized I was doing it for kind of selfish reasons. I just wanted that. The Jesus buzz. And I realized that happens when you obey him. And obeying him is loving, actively loving other people. Our faith is to be done, not just to be believed. And this verse, if you think that's just me, this verse I think sums it up. Paul says, but the goal of our instruction, in other words, everything we're teaching, is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. There, it says it right there. Doug.
King James says, now the end of the commandment. So it's commanded, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. We are commanded to love. I'll put it in, here's another verse that makes it pretty clear. We've all seen this 100 times, but let it sink in. Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Think of a noise that just annoys you. You know, car horns or the yappy little dog next door or whatever that is for you. That's how we sound. This is important. Listen to this. That's how we sound to unbelievers if we don't have love. Okay? If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, All knowledge, meaning everything the Bible says about all that doctrine and all that stuff. I can have all that stuff, and if I don't, and if I have all faith so as to remove all mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Not I am less or less effective or it's not as good. I'm nothing. This is what it all focuses on. And love, in the way the Bible describes it, is a very active thing. It's not just praying for people and giving more money to missions. It's being involved in people's nitty-gritty lives. Sacrifice. How do we do this? That last verse and this verse are really the main two verses in what I'm doing. Jesus, this is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your life shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This is why I made my guarantee. It's not hard. We don't always want to do it. But what this verse is saying is, you will have a huge head start in sharing your faith if you simply live like a Christian. Do the things that God tells us to do. The good works, the caring for people, the love. They will see that. And it doesn't just say they will acknowledge Him. It says they will glorify God. And think about being a millennial in this day and age. You've got probably 10 major religions to choose from. There's a whole lot of religious, non-religious viewpoints, doctrines, worldviews. There's more different ways of seeing things now than there ever has been in human history. How does a kid choose which way to go? We were always taught, you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit moves, people choose to follow the Lord, but it's more than that. The Holy Spirit has to be involved. But if we're not living the life we're supposed to live, we're just going to sound like noisy gong and clanging cymbal. We're just going to be one more option among 100 other ways of doing things out there. It actually takes work and effort and sacrifice and care for other people. So I came up with this list. Let's get very, very practical. How do we actually care for people? If you want to be, let's say you want to be a missionary. You go to missionary school. You learn how to do it. You learn about the culture. So can it ever be too practical to do? I don't think so. How do you be someone who cares for other people? The first three on here are the ones that I think are the most important. Be a really good listener. If you're with somebody for an hour, let them talk for 50 minutes. Who are you? What do you do? What do you believe? Pay attention to the person as a person. Don't we all love that? Well, do it for someone else in Jesus' name. Ask good questions and withhold judgment. I need a big mirror back there for me when I say that one, because I'm preaching to myself. That's the hardest one for me. It's so easy for me to judge people based on 100 really horrible reasons. We all do it.
What do you mean by judgment?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'll tell you my definition, and I think it fits everything the Bible says about it. I think we're allowed to judge what people say. I think we're allowed to judge what people do, but we never get to judge the person.
Meaning
I can't ever look down on you because of that goofy hat that you wear.
Don't you forget it.
Right. Or whatever it is. Thanks for letting me pick on you.
No, but like, you don't want to say people are going to hell, too, right?
Well, yeah. Right. Dave.
I like one pastor put evangelism as, he summed it up by saying, evangelism should be one beggar telling another beggar where to go get the bread.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, we all know in our heart when we cross that line. That's a good line. Thank you. We all know when we talk about some politician we don't like, whether we're judging them or just their ideas. when we gossip about somebody. We're judging them, not their ideas. Jim?
I think when it says withhold judgment, I think not only we don't judge the person, but we're trying to talk to them to begin with. Don't tell them about your judgment of what they say or what they do.
Right.
You cannot, but...
Right, but withhold it.
Yeah, don't talk about it.
That's right. Yeah. So I think that we have to treat every single person, even the people we regard the lowest, as if they are fully redeemable by God until the moment they're dead. We pray for them, we care for them in whatever way we can do that. Now, we can judge their ideas and the goofy things they say and the things they do. But, you know, if you don't like the president... It's fine. Do you pray for the president?
Yes.
Good. Or pick somebody that you just don't like. Do you still pray for them? That's how I see this line between judging actions, judging the person. Hate the sin, love the sinner.
And words are powerful. Like you call someone an idiot, that's really hurtful.
Yeah, that's a judgment.
Yeah.
Steve?
What I like instead of judgment is hold discernment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. That's very good.
Just
Bob?
To extrapolate, I like that, the differentiation between discerning and judgment. It's like I was taught by even well-meaning mother and others to discern for your own safety and good and others, but it's really difficult to withhold even discernment. And then I found out recently, well, that's my ego.
Yeah.
Then I feel like I'm okay.
Sure.
I know what's wrong with that. Withhold all of that, or even a little bit, is a good thing. The Lord will give you what you need.
Thank you. How much of our time do we spend categorizing other people so that we can feel superior to them? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not superior to anybody. I'm not. When we're with someone else, even if someone we can't stand and we don't like and we disagree with completely, God created that person on purpose. How can we have compassion for them and love them? If we could do these things, this whole job of evangelism would be 90% easier than it is. We keep thinking it's about having the right answers to all these questions. And that's important. But you can say, I don't know, can I get back to you on that? But our attitude, the way we come across to people, whether we actually care about people, is what God is looking for. And it really is what makes our life worth living. Let me go through a few more of these. I've got like 20 of them, and I don't want to do all of them because I want to get to what we're doing today. Yeah, well, I did. I only got halfway through. The main thing is pray. Before you do any of this, pray. Pray, then pray some more, and then pray a lot more, and then after that, pray. Okay, because we can't do this on our own. This is one of the things we do. All we can do is choose to go to God and say, teach me how to do this. We can't choose to actually do it. We need His power and His love. Part of evangelism, part of sharing the faith, is making us humble because we realize how unqualified we are to do this. Be generous. Compliment freely. Don't be afraid to pay somebody a compliment. I love your hair. I love your outfit. Thank you for what you said. We love it when people do that to us. Give that as a gift to other people. Just make it a part of your life, Christian, non-Christian. Pray like your hair is on fire. Pray some more. Be a person who forgives, a person who shows respect. Don't gossip. Be a good mentor. There's a lot of us older in this class. Find a young person, come alongside, see if you can develop a friendship. We have some important things to be able to say. If somebody says, what about this and what about that, don't hand them a book. Say, let's meet for lunch. Let's talk about that. That's the making disciples part of this. And remember who people are to God. People are God's crowning achievement. There is nothing he made that is more glorious to him or more important than us. And that counts all those people that you can't stand. Okay? This, each other is where our focus should be. Our efforts, our money, our time, our thoughts, our prayers should be outside ourselves. I want to talk about knowing yourself a little bit. This is really, really important. You can't love other people if you don't know yourself. You don't know what your limitations are. You don't want to overcommit. You want to find out what your strengths are and be able to talk to people in a way that you are passionate and you've educated yourself about. Knowledge of yourself is really, really important. As you do these things in Jesus' name, you will have more and more opportunities to share your faith with those who see your commitment to love. You will have more opportunities than you can stand. Okay, that's my basic point here. Let's do this, and then the Holy Spirit can work through us. There's that old phrase, you hear it, people say, God's word does not come back void. And I think a lot of times they use that as an excuse to just preach the gospel in any way that they feel like it, whether they're listening or not, whether it's tuned to the person or not, and they figure the Lord can use it. Well, he can. But it's not the best way to do it. The best way is personal, one-on-one, get to know the person, care for them. What are their questions? What are their issues? It's the agendaless agenda. The agenda is eventually bringing people to God. But the agendaless part is just go out and love them. Just go out and care for people. The Lord will give you the opportunity to say what you need to say about him. Doug?
I have to ask the question, though. I mean, you do agree that it's important to have a knowledge of the Scripture.
Yes, it is.
And to apply it to every situation, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely it is. What I'm trying to do is tell you how to get to that point where they're interested.
What?
Where they want to know about the Scripture. Or where they feel like...
Yeah, don't beat them up with it, right?
Yeah. Okay. You can say, I'm not qualified. Good. That's part of knowing yourself. None of us are. We are confident of this because our great trust in God through Christ... It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. This is where the prayer part comes in. So don't feel like, yeah, I'm just not good at this. I'm going to let somebody else do it. Now, a lot of people will say, I'm not good at this. I don't want to do it. It's up to the Lord to do that. He's in charge anyway. But look at this verse. I just added this a couple weeks ago because I read it and it was like this hand reached up out of the Bible and smacked me in the head and went back down. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. It's our job. Would God do a better job of it than us? Yes, certainly. But he's given it to us to do. And just to make sure we get it, Paul repeats himself further on. He says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Here it is again. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. That's the main way that he calls people, folks.
Yes.
Through you and me. So let's get it right. I need to get it right. I mess it up all the time. Now this verse, and we're not going to spend much time with it, but this goes to what you were saying, Doug. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So once you love, once you pay attention, once you take care of people, it says here, they will be asking us. Read that verse again. When you are asked, you have an answer. Well, what does it take for people to ask? You got to have a lifestyle and a love in you that is so different than anything else the world offers. They're going to say, wow, I want that. What is that? So, I can teach on this all day long. You guys will get something from it, but we're going to see it in action now, okay? What we're going to do is show you what evangelism looks like when it's done badly. Okay? So, Tim is going to be acting badly. So, I want to introduce to you Mark and Tim.
Same as it is for everybody else. I mean, they're the ones that are saying,
So how can you say, I get why you're calling us hypocrites, but that's because we're actually holding ourselves to a moral standard, whereas you atheists don't have a moral standard. I mean,
but you're not keeping up your moral standard. I mean, you have this moral standard of marriage for life, and then, well, somebody, you know, stubs their toe and they don't like the burnt coffee, and then that would just get divorced. I mean, come on. What nonsense is that?
Look, okay, So is that you're resting your entire case on what you think divorce rates are?
Well, I already know what the divorce rates are. It's kind of like public, right?
Okay.
It's not hidden.
No?
It's on the internet. It must be true.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe that, but...
Yeah, so... Let's talk about something else. I'm listening to the radio because my girlfriend said, well, you need to listen to Christian radio. I said, why? She said, just two. So I said, all right. So I'm listening to Christian radio station. And you know what? You know what really caught me right here? The stupid ads.
Okay.
You know what the first ad I heard was?
What?
Divorce lawyer. On a Christian station. If you're having problems in your relationship and your marriage and you need competent legal help, we're here to divorce.
Yeah, okay,
you.
Look, but you can't look at the ads on Christian radio and then judge all of Christians and all of Christianity. Have you seen secular media at all? Yeah.
Christian radio, you know what? They not only had divorce, which I thought was preposterous, because, I mean, isn't the Christian thing supposed to, like, try and help you not get divorced? And here this, you know, the Christian radio stations, they're smart. They know what they're advertising for. They know exactly all about the demographics. Okay, well, this seems to be a population pretty heavy in divorcees. Why don't we just appeal to them?
You just said that the divorce rate is even. It's not heavy in divorce rates. It's the same. So, yeah, obviously they would have the same ads for secular and non-secular.
Okay, here's another one. This one blew me away. So another advertisement comes on, and you know what this one's about? Bankruptcy. bankruptcy. If you can't pay your debts because you've bought too many fancy cars and a boat and jet skis,
the Bible doesn't say
Imelda Marcos shoes in your closet, you know, 4,000 shoes these women wear, Christian women. I mean, it's hypocrisy. Okay. They're just, and you know what really flew me off the handle? I'm getting so ticked off when I. I'm getting ticked off because there's my girlfriend saying, this is Christian Ray. They're going to teach you all about what Christians are. Yeah. You know what it said? That bankruptcy thing said, this is based on biblical principle of the Jubilee.
Mark.
The Jubilee? What? And then I looked it up, and you know, that's supposed to be like some 50-year thing, then you give back the stuff that you got before. I said, well, that has nothing to do with bankruptcy. That's stupid.
Mark, can you let me talk? You can just keep going, and I don't get a chance to answer.
All right. Well, you asked me. Okay, go ahead.
Look, okay, first of all, you're judging all of Christianity on what? Divorce rates and ads you see on the radio? You need to get out there and actually talk to Christians.
I have talked to Christians.
And go to church and read the Bible, but all you're doing is judging on the surface. And I don't do that with atheists. Like, I don't just judge atheists on the surface. I actually talk to them.
So if the hypocrites are advertising to other hypocrites, and the people who are looking at this, you know, Jesus movement or whatever you guys are, I mean, I don't mean make that sound real terribly bad, but, I mean, it tells us something what the advertising is about. So if you go to some place like where there's rich people, they're going to advertise BMWs and Mercedes and stuff. Okay. But so if you go to a place where there's a whole bunch of hypocrites, then you advertise hypocrite stuff. So, like, there's another one. I mean, look at, you got the bankruptcy thing. Here's another one I heard. And this one really fried me, because I remember in that church one time they were talking about, you know, you have to pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And I don't know what Caesar had to do with Jesus. But anyway, so this one's about the IRS. If you're arrears in your IRS, and you think you're going to get your stuff foreclosed, you need to call us and we'll get you out of that. And then you have people talking. So a couple of these Christians got on the radio and they said, oh, yeah, I was 4 years I didn't pay my taxes. And I'm thinking, 4 years you didn't pay your taxes? You should be in prison. So these are the people that are talking about, you know, pay to Caesar and
pay your taxes.
And then they're acting like morons.
Can I answer you?
Oh, well, if you think you can.
Okay, are you saying atheists are not hypocrites at all? Christians are the only hypocrites?
I didn't come here to try and turn you into an atheist. No, you were the one told me to come be a Christian. I'm telling you guys are hypocrites. And this is proof. This IRS thing, and then you know what else I heard? This was even funnier. Okay, it's bad enough that they're advertising so that you can get out of paying your IRS debts, and that's all those Jesus people do. First they buy too much stuff, they go into bankruptcy, they don't pay their taxes. Nobody should have such
Christians
a cool car.
Buy too much stuff?
You don't even get paid much, and you're driving around in one of those fancy cars? Beamer?
It's not that fancy.
It's Beamer, man. It says BMW all over it.
You know how cheap they are to get an old model?
Yeah, it's probably because you already did your bankruptcy. Okay, listen. The other thing I heard was the ambulance chasers. Did you slip and fall? Did you get rear-ended in a car accident? And then I'm thinking, gosh, I don't even hear that on all these other regular radio stations.
I see those
only on the
Jesus
channel.
I see those ads all the time. Have you seen billboards driving around with, like, have you gotten a speeding ticket? These ads are everywhere, but you got tunnel vision. You can only see what you want to see.
But these are they're all the time on these Jesus stations. KJEUS or something like that? I don't know. I don't know what the channel was. My girlfriend just put it on there and made me listen to it. It was terrible. So bottom line is, you know, you guys are really hypocrites, and I don't know if I want to hang out with people like that. I mean, you're okay, you know, I'll have lunch with you and stuff, but, I mean, to be one of you, I don't know if I buy that.
Well, I don't want to be one of you, so.
Well, I don't blame you, man, because then we'd both be the same, and then what? Then we can come and have...
Then we wouldn't have anything to talk about, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we got to talk about getting our job done, man. We better get out.
Oh, yeah, we better get support.
Portraying a point of view, we want to create. critique the point of view, so don't be afraid to say anything you want to say, Doug.
Okay. I know he could witness so much better than that if he wasn't acting, because he was arguing with the guy. He wasn't even mentioning Jesus, you know? I mean, that's really what the key issue is, right? It's not so much about our character, but his character and his love, right?
So did Tim in any way...
Well, he did some good things.
...represent Jesus' character?
Well, he was very bold. Even his body language is kind of like this, and... He didn't interrupt, he had some godly characteristics, but all too often you see this arguing, right? And then it's just like winning an argument is the main goal.
Okay, thank you, Warren.
He did not acknowledge Mark's point.
Yeah.
He wasn't listening.
He didn't give him any.
You can't just all of a sudden plunge in and start talking about Jesus if they don't have any foundation understanding who Jesus is.
That's true.
Then you're talking Jesus at them, not...
Yeah, you're right, and it's only a 10-minute break, right? So.
What if we agreed with Mark?
In what he said or how he said it?
On the commercial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pointed question, if you were to listen and respond, what would people in this group think that, for instance, hypocrite, would be a response?
Does Mark have a legitimate point of view that Christians
sure would
have?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would talk about that. We're people just like you, and that we make mistakes too, and that you don't evaluate, you don't judge on Jesus. By looking at all the people, most of the time, you do it by looking at what Jesus has to say that we're trying to live up to, but we're not quite making it. And so you look more at that and you talk about what if the claims of Jesus are real? Are you going to bank your salvation, your eternal life, on what you see on some people that are blowing it or being hypocritical, or are you going to base it on what Jesus says?
Okay, good. So in other words, live like Jesus said, not like Christians live.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Mara?
I would have asked Mark where he gets his moral law from to call us hypocrites.
Exactly.
Where is your moral law based on? Otherwise, if you're just a bag of molecules sitting around as an atheist, why are you judging me? You're nothing. Molecules don't judge people. So forget it. We're all hypocrites in life. We're saved by grace. Okay, and we're lucky to be saved. That's all by God, because I can't be perfect. I'm saved from myself. So, tell me where you get your law.
Okay, thank you.
One of the big, most glaring thing to me was it was all defensive, just letting Mark roll over him again, constantly, nonstop.
Right.
Where is the confidence in Christ? We're supposed to, the love and the power has imbued in us to make a stand, any stand, even start at some point, even taking back some of his, yes, we're all hypocrites, but we're called not to be many, many ways. Just all the fear, which is, and not moving forward in this situation is tantamount to not believing, not really believing in yourself that God is your king and you're supposed to be bold.
So Tim let Mark run the entire conversation.
Yep.
Okay. He also placed judgment on him at the very end by saying, like, I don't want to be like you at all. And that's not, like, the best way to end.
Yeah. Sounds like name calling. Yeah.
He did really horrible in the middle, but the end was worse. Yeah.
Mark wasn't really ready to hear anything, so I know you can't do this, but probably Tim needed to pray more, and also he could have asked questions more instead of trying to argue back.
So ask more questions.
Redirect.
Yeah. Okay.
Another thing that might have been helpful is going back to what is a Christian? in the first place, which they didn't really get into, that some of these people that are advertising or in marriages or whatever it is, are they really a Christian from the biblical definition of that? Also, the whole area of lordship in our lives, that we can receive Christ, but then sometimes don't walk out that lordship, which does not please the Lord.
Yes.
So maybe concentrating on both of those, moving the conversation in that way, what actually is a Christian in the first place, and could by-step some of this.
Good. Thank you.
I think we got to be careful about just so readily admitting that we're all hypocrites. I mean, there are hypocrites, but hopefully in our daily life we'll change and we're no longer like slaves to being a sinner. We're saved by grace, yes, but we're changed too. And so maybe it's good to admit that there are hypocrites, but I'm, you know, admit this to somebody. I don't want to destroy my whole testimony by saying I'm the worst sinner in the world. I never really understood why Paul said that.
That's a really interesting statement. Do you destroy your whole testimony if you admit you're the worst sinner in the world?
It's kind of like a false humility, too, in a way.
I think it's Paul referring to how he was such a great persecutor of Christ. He became such an antithesis to that after he was saved. And in some ways, it holds up his argument. He was a chief killer.
Paul. Yeah.
So he's looking at that.
But isn't he also describing himself in the present tense?
Yeah. Because he's now seen eternity and seen that's the whole picture. What I think. Because he sees that it's the whole picture. Present, past, and future are who we eventually will be. And who the Lord is living in at all time. So he's taking his past and putting in perspective with where he is, I think. So just kind of coming to that. It seems like it was almost a statement of false modesty, but no.
Well,
not him.
I don't know. Okay.
If he's the worst sinner, why do we listen to him?
No.
What do you guys think?
Naomi? I really believe that we're forgiven by grace of God. But we are still sinners. We're here on earth. We have to compare ourselves to Christ, who had no sin.
Yeah.
So to say that we're not being hypocritical, we're not accepting the difference between Christ and who we are now. We won't be perfect till we're in heaven. So we are sinners currently, and we're hypocrites currently.
Yeah.
So we're in comparison to who this Christ is.
Yeah.
So to have humility, I think, is important.
Yeah.
Thank you, Naomi. Mara?
I would have, when he started talking about his wife listening, I'd say, you know something, you're an atheist, or his girlfriend, I don't remember. then you don't love her. Because you can't have, as an atheist, you don't really have love, and you don't have free will. So you have no free will. Because you're, again, a bag of molecules, and they don't have any of that. They have nothing of that.
Do you think it would be, and this is an honest question, do you think it would be a good idea to address that in the first time you speak to someone about
it? If that were the encounter, yes. Because I do it all the time. We do it all the time. These are the things we have. We have worse than Mark ever was. Right then and there, right there. And we had a young boy do it just the other night. It was great. All these gang of kids came around when we were there, and they were all trying to get on us. And this one guy said, John had talked about free will and love. He says, why do you say that an atheist can't have free will and love? And when we explained it to him, we said, because you're just a bag of molecules. You have nothing. You have nothing, no moral law, you have nothing. So you are just a bag of molecules that do what they want to do, the survival of the fittest. That's all you do. And the kid got it. And he backed down, and they all stayed and listened to us. It was very interesting, because they were all trying to make fun of us. And when the kid even got it. Most people don't get it. It was great.
I think context is really important.
Yes, it is.
Know where, when you can say what.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of being led by the Holy Spirit, you know. In this situation, I mean, you don't ever want to do it with an attitude. They did that with love. That's the point. It's not so much, you know, if you're coming strong like that at a certain point, or if you're being, you know, doing friendship evangelism over a point of time. It's whether you're led by the Holy Spirit and what is coming from you comes from a place of love.
And see, she smiled when she said that, probably, when you said you're a bag of molecules, right? You
I
weren't like
really,
saying you're a dirty...
I didn't really, because they were very hostile, and so I'm like...
Yeah.
Bronze. So
we're bold.
I go, well, you know, your bag of molecules doesn't matter. I say it just like that because
yeah.
I kind of do it like that. If they're sweet or whatever, if I can be sweet, they say to us, why are you here? And I said, well, we're not here to collect any money. We're not here to do anything. You think we want to spend this night? We love you. We're here to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what we're here for, because we love you and don't want you to go flying off the cliff, you know, to hell. I didn't say hell.
I have a question for you. Yeah, you. I could read your body language. Would you say what you were feeling a minute ago?
Oh, I'm glad she added on like the aspect of that she told him she also loved them. Because out of context, it sounded like you were almost saying that they were worthless too.
Yeah, a bag of molecules.
So, well, but then she added on the context of what else was said.
Yeah.
And also, I think the tonage might have been different when he's actually speaking to them, and now maybe too, and everything. And also, I'm not looking at her face to face either.
Good.
So it's like,
okay. What's your name? I'm sorry.
Kara.
Thank you. Okay. Well, it looks like it's already break time again.
Well, they get a lot of breaks.
Another break.
They get a lot of breaks on this job. So we're going to pick up Mark and Tim one more time. Whoa.
Oh, jeez.
Holy Spirit. A lot of weird sound is in this break room.
Man, I'm telling you. Yeah. Let's be your Jesus dudes at it again. Man, I keep getting emails from the boss, and it's just like I want him to go away.
Oh, yeah.
And then as soon as I think about him going away, I realize, so would my paycheck, and I think I better not do that.
Yep.
You know, last time I was telling you about... You know, you guys are pretty much just hypocrites, and we kind of figured that out. And you know, and one of the things I was thinking, all right, even if I bought into this, that everybody's a hypocrite, which I don't quite get, but, you know, that was your stupid argument. So I'm thinking, well, why else would I want to do that Christian thing? And then I was thinking, wow, you know, those people really are freaks, because they have their own little bubble that they're in. So I go to church with my girlfriend just because, you know, that was the only way to get to her, and so I'm listening and I'm thinking, you know, these people are talking this little churchianity language, you know, they have their own little churchianity language. Have you ever do you talk that language?
What does that mean?
That means like you go in there and everybody says, oh, I'm redeemed. I said, oh, are you a coupon? What is this? And then they talk about other things, and I'm thinking, well, what? You know, they use some weird words here, and the blood of Christ is going to cover you. I don't want to go swimming in blood. I really don't know who this Christ dude is that has that much blood to give, you know, to cover the whole world. It says the whole world can be covered in his blood. Man, is this guy like an endless heartbleed beat or something? I mean, I don't even know how anybody could have that much blood in their bone marrow.
Yeah.
So there's all this kind of weird language and you know what was really, they're all in their little bubbles. That was because that's what they look like. They're in little bubbles. So four or five little bubblies over here and four or five little Christian bubblies over here and another couple of bubblies over here. And my girlfriend, I don't know where she went. She would probably go hang out some other bubbly. And then I'm walking around, and nobody even said anything to me. Huh. So I couldn't be part of their little bubbles because I didn't know all their little words. And so I'm listening to them talk all their, you know, I don't, they had so many ION words, you know, sanctification and redemption. And I'm still having a problem with the coupon thing. But... They even have their own little. You know what? I remember one that this one blew me away. It wasn't even in the church. It was this dude who had this bumper sticker, and it's something like, "I'm not in this world" or something like that. And I got out of this truck, and big, big tattoo, and it said something not in this world, and it had some kind of weird, freaky little logo on it. And I said, well, not of this world. What world are you from? More bubbly stuff. You know, the stuff you don't, nobody, but if you're not in the little churchy club, you don't get to have the little tattoos.
Yeah.
So, do they have a secret handshake, too?
No, there's no secret handshake, but, you know, I get why you think that, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of wondering, how do they even want to be anywhere else? Why would anybody want to be part of your little world, and there's like a million other groups to be part of?
No, I don't know. It just happens that way, I guess.
Yeah, well, so basically, just you guys are just nothing but a little social club with your little social churchianity language, and your coupons and stuff, and I don't see any reason why we should be part of that. So, I don't think we even need to talk anymore. So, I'm glad you agree with me that there's really no reason to even be part of that little bubble stuff. So, let's get back to work and do something productive.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Think it would be possible for him to do a worse job.
Yeah. So did he do as bad a job this time?
Worse.
All right, Doug.
You know, it's almost like he was converting to atheism. He's just agreeing with everything you guys are saying. I understand what you're saying. Yep, it's true. I mean, come on. Are we Christians or not?
So isn't being empathetic part of what we're supposed to do?
Yeah, but that's kind of like overdoing it, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, Steve.
I think he was trying to convert Tim into atheism.
Yeah.
He was trying to.
And he succeeded, I think.
The conversation got further, maybe. I didn't know where he was going. But I did like that he did empathize a little bit. He kind of got it. Yeah, I get where you churchy words that we use and all that stuff. That's bothered me before. You know, so I like that, actually.
Okay.
I mean, if that's the whole conversation, probably, you know. But if you've got a continuing conversation that goes time after time after time, that might be a perfect conversation.
Well, even if this was a continuing conversation, was that the best you could have done?
No.
Naomi?
He said to pray, to love, to listen. So he did those, but 1 Peter 3:15, it said to be ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you with gentleness and reverence. So, did he give a defense?
No.
So, yeah. But maybe the first part he might have followed through with. He probably could have followed through with being ready to give a defense with gentleness and reverence.
So, this is your son up here. Were you proud of him? Dean?
Yeah, I would continue on with that line of thought. I think it's all right. There's multiple conversations we have in life, so I like the break format that we're seeing here. One time we may get argumentative with somebody, another time we may be so empathetic that we're just like a carpet. And so I think there is room in life, and the Holy Spirit will work with us, where there will be an opportunity for us to give our defense. And that's what we're praying and hoping for, you know. And I think if our heart is really there, then we'll see that moment. And we may look like that a lot of the times and bounce on the extremes. But yeah, it's that moment we're looking for. Right.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Hope.
I think that is. There's so many layers to this onion and these two breaks. I'm thinking with someone like that, I would listen for a bit, and then I would say, well, what is it that you believe? Like, I would just ask them a question. Like, how do you think you got here? Do you care to know why you're here at all? And really get their perspective. I mean, is he really a materialist? Is he an agnostic? Is he really an atheist? I don't know what he really is, except a guy that likes to criticize a lot. So maybe just ask him a question, you know?
Sure.
And just check what he says, and then maybe you can respond from that.
Because how do you know what to say?
You can't know what to say.
Unless you learn about the person.
And I'm not going to sit there and be on the defensive for every stupid thing he's picking apart, because seriously, that's human beings. scenes that he's describing.
And it's true, and a lot of it's true.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have liked to have heard Tim's testimony on why he's
exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a good place too. Yes.
And everybody has a testimony.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? That's right.
And it should have been reversed where you, rather than get Tim to ask him the questions instead.
Good. Thank you. Mara?
Tim had a lot of openings. The guy came to him, Mark, saying he went to church.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's freaky. After our conversation, you went to church. How wonderful. He could have lauded him.
He wanted to get to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That you went to church, how neat. And I understand you went because of your girlfriend. Why are you going with a Christian?
Exactly.
You know, you're going with a Christian. You want to get to her. All right, what are you going to marry her? You know, we're not allowed to be unequally yoked. What is the point here of you going? And I'm sorry that those people did not come and talk to you, you know? I'm sorry, because that isn't. And we do talk Christianese. I'm sure, you know, people talk this all the time because we quote a lot of the Bible, and we talk in sometimes in King James English, you know, and this, that, and the other. So there are, but that's with any group. You're going to have your own lingo, whether it's a social group. But we're not a social group. We're there. We're, again, saved by grace. We're there to, as our leader is the God who made the world and everything in it, and you, and they gave you your life and your breath and everything. So do you care, like, what do you call it, said, you know, where did you come from? Don't you care about the ultimate questions in life? What's your world view that you're just, you know, this atheist that's running? Why are you here? Where did you come from, and where are you going? Those are the deep, that we talk about ultimate issues about God, you know, blah, blah, blah.
This whole, thank you, Mara, this whole thing about language and church and ease, can anybody think of any examples in the entire New Testament where anyone evangelized and pushed the person away because of the way they said it or the language they used? Paul kind of went out of his way in the sermons he gave in Acts to appeal to what his audience already knew and to build a gospel message on that. Right.
And
well,
that's what I just quoted. I'm going to tell you about the real God who created the heaven and the. In fact, I'm memorizing that Acts 17 scripture because I love it so much.
Because they already had a history of that story.
And
so
he talked about their poets. In Him, he put us all in places where we should be, and He's numbered our days, and He put us there so that we might go to find Him and seek Him out, and though He's near to us.
Right.
Because in Him, as your poets have said, in Him we live and have our being.
But
we are His offspring.
And He used that because they already had those concepts.
Yes,
and
of all the other
and He
gods.
Didn't. But He didn't use any language that put distance between Him and the audience or alienated them.
You appeal to your audience. You go where they are.
That's right. Doug.
Real quickly, you know, I'm a street preacher, and I go to a Bible study of street preachers. And one of the verses we really base what we do on is that Paul went daily to the marketplace and contended for the faith. Doesn't necessarily mean he was arguing, but he was bold enough to, you know, do that. And I don't think we need to be ashamed of the gospel in any way.
Not in any way.
But we don't want to trip up people, but the gospel, by its very nature, is an offense, so there are going to be people offended, and we're going to have to accept that when they are. Not that we want to be offensive, but that they rejected Christ, they're going to reject us too sometimes.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
And I think it's our responsibility to figure out the best way to do it every time, In every circumstance, it may be different. The people are different,
yeah.
Circumstances different, the place is different, the size of the group is different, and we need to have some knowledge and experience and boldness to figure out what's the best words for this here in this situation.
Yeah, like I'm not going to hold a Bible in a break room and stand up and start, you know,
right.
The raising of my voice. But in a public place, people won't even hear you if you're just like talking like,
Steve.
We need to be ready for everything, but we need to be ready. I'm reminded of a story of a young man who took judo lessons, and his teacher kept him repeating on one throw. And he wouldn't let him get off that throw. It became so much ingrained in him, it was so automatic. And he says, now you're going to win the competition. And it was so automatic that when he grabbed the other fellow, it just happened and it was over. We need some judo verses for ourselves to where we feel comfortable with them. We know what they're about and can redirect and have some substance that maybe throws them a little bit, but throws them our way so that we can start asking them questions. And then they'll refocus on our judo verses.
I'm going to take one more comment and then we've got to close. Mara, thank you, Steve.
We're so lucky here because when we do meet people, we can invite them here to see Hugh Ross. What a great way to evangelize and to talk. And we're so blessed to be here because we don't know all the answers.